Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey folks, it's Matt Zachary, and welcome to Vax On, a weekly segment of my podcast, Out of Patience, right here on the Offscript Network.
Hey, I'm Allura Nanos. I'm a lawyer, a journalist, a mom of a teenage narcoleptic, and a professional big mouth.
Lou and I go back 30 years as best friends, and we're here to have fun and bring you a layperson's guide to what the hell just happened this week in healthcare as America gets its vax on and shows COVID the door.
We're here together to learn, complain, and include you in the conversation.
So join us on Twitter at VaxOnPod and share your stories and grievances using the hashtag VaxOn.
All right, Matt, let's get at it.
All right, folks, we are back. I am joined by Allura Nanos and by Stephanie Santariello.
Yay!
Whose name I keep getting right for some reason.
Because it's you're just so good at it.
Because Santa is built right in.
Santariello. That's right. You lucked out. Kimora. Yeah. I don't know. I can't. It sounds like a turd.
Yeah, it does.
The turd of Kimora.
Really?
It's
I'm
a step
the one
above
here.
The Camry before the Avalon.
Yeah.
Listen, all I know is that I'm waiting for them to name a car after me. We've gotten the Aurora, the Elantra, the Alero.
And when the Hyundai Nanos?
Yeah,
the Hyundai Allura?
When they finally name a car after me and they make it the Allura, I'm buying it. I don't care how much
it
is.
Well, you know who listens to the show?
Elon Musk.
Yes. The Tesla Allura. The Model E. The
I'm
new
getting
Model
it.
E.
See, I'm getting
perfect.
It. Yeah. I know I'm not supposed to like Elon Musk, but I just love those fucking cars.
Yeah.
They're so awesome.
Cool.
They're so cool. So, yeah, I'm sorry.
So I know this is a COVID fuckery show, but
yes.
May I just interject a quick healthcare fuckery?
Oh, interject away.
Anecdote. Yes. So I've been on a drug called Dexilant. It's for GERD.
It's since named Dexilant?
I don't know who names these things, but it's called Dexilant.
Like
it's
I think excellent. My daughter was on that.
Dexilant was like a next-gen drug after Prilosec, mm-hmm. which came out of Zantac or some early GERD stuff. I have GERD from long-term radiation side effects. I've been vegan and I've been thin, and no matter what I do, I have GERD.
I've never been vegan or thin.
So I went on Dexilant in 2009. I've been on it since it was FDA approved. Mm-hmm. It's changed my life.
And
it's fantastic.
Do you feel Dexilant or do you feel just very good?
I'm quite Dexilant at this point now. But also, even if I skip 2 days, it's terrible.
Oh,
like
wow.
My gut, it's just, you know, I was put through the Easy Bake Oven in 1996 and, you know, parts don't come out that terribly unscathed. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, for no reason, 3 months ago, our insurer, United Healthcare, mm-hmm. decided we are no longer going to cover Dexilant ever again.
They don't think it's so Dexilant.
Nor the generics.
What the heck?
So go find something else and hopefully don't have your life suck that terrible. So I went into my own beast mode. And mm-hmm. I know people who run the pharmacy, PillPack, that mm-hmm. I work with and I'm a customer of. And I've learned all about something called a formulary exception. Words you may know, Allura.
Okay.
No, here, I'm going to teach you a new word today. So a formulary exception is when you have either yourself, an attorney, or a represented, designated patient advocate professional lobby on your support to convince the payer to let you have. It's kind of a version of compassionate use, but you're not dying.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's like you're getting it and you're an exception to the rule because that formula is so important to you. That,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm in this process now.
Okay.
What's even more interesting, Takeda, again, not a sponsor, this is just me ranting for a second, mm-hmm. makes Dexilant.
Takeda is the name of the company?
Again, who names these things?
Every 17 years they come back.
They should start. Maybe they should make a drug, the Takeda Allura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Takeda.
You have wings.
So I know everyone that works at Takeda because I have this wonderful relationship with these companies. And I'm like, who runs your patient assistance program? Because I know that those exist. And they had, lo and behold, a special on Dexilant.
Wow.
Where you can get an exception and a coupon and everything. And it turns out that the insurance company didn't accept it. So the people at Takeda are trying to help me. The people at PillPack are trying to help me. And I have a proxy as a duly designated representative to do this formulaic exemption status with my primary care doctor. His office is incompetent half the time, but it's basically calculus, chess, and Yahtzee.
Oh my goodness.
To see if by June I will not be paying $300 a month for Dexilant out of pocket.
That is not Dexilant at all.
It isn't. That's succulent.
That is non-Dexilant. Anti-Dexilant.
That's like really annoying.
So this is just like, this shit happens to me too, right? Like, I don't care.
I mean, it's good you know how to navigate.
But this is like, how do other people know to do this?
They wouldn't.
They don't. Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen if I can't get the formulary exemption.
Yeah.
Anyway, end of rant. Thank you. United Healthcare.
It's excellent. Yeah. Nail us.
Not a sponsor. Never a sponsor.
All right. I mean, that's a way to start out. My check-in is that I was on vacation last week. So
yeah. I mean, we're on my wife's policy.
Okay.
They have no choice. That's the employer-based model. It's decent insurance until they decide, for no reason.
Right.
After 13 years, no Dexilant for you.
It's not like a black market Dexilant need. Like, it's not like the Sudafeds of the, you know, where people are making meth in the basement with Dexilant.
Can we just talk about that for 1 second?
Yeah.
How annoying is it? How annoying is it?
When you need
Sudafed and you have to wait for them to unlock the pharmacy cabinet. It gives me such
Why
rage.
Why are they doing that now? Like, are people like stealing
meth.
Sudafed?
You know, because they're cooking meth with it.
They're cooking meth. Oh, didn't cooking you watch Breaking Bad?
No. I'm a non-Breaking Bad person.
You're not a Heisenberg?
Well, let me tell you, it's some
like
dark
the uncertainty principle.
Yeah, it's some dark shit that they do with the Sudafed.
Yeah,
but you know.
Okay, all right. So, thank you for allowing me to rant a little bit
rant
about
away.
this ridiculousness going
better?
On in my life. No,
no,
it just felt good to rant though. I still have to come home and realize that I'm going to be paying $300 a month
That's
out of pocket,
just crazy.
Which means like you know, no toilet paper. Well, there's none anyway
you're gonna
in Philadelphia.
Have to, you're going to have to cancel Hulu, aren't you?
Yeah, no more Hulu.
That's
for
always
me.
My answer. Every time some call, like, gas is $18 a gallon, oh, I'm going to fucking have to cancel Hulu.
Or go back to the one with commercials.
No, I refuse.
No,
I'm
no,
not
it's
having
Spotify it. Non-premium for me.
Oh. Yeah. I have every streaming service that has ever even thought about existing.
Me too.
Wait, Shudder?
No, well, except for that one.
I don't know. Right.
Do you have Curiosity Stream?
No.
Oh, there are so many.
You're just coming up. You're just being silly
those
now.
Those aren't real. Listen, as it is, it's all I can do to get through the day after I finished Bridgerton season 2 last night, and there was no sex in it.
Bridgerton?
Yes.
Is that a show?
Oh,
Matthew. Gosh.
Wait, have you met me?
All right. Quick story. Bridgerton came around in like March of 2020 on Netflix, and it's basically like 50 Shades of Jane Austen.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. And it was great.
Is Winona Ryder in it?
No.
I would watch it.
It's all new people that no one's ever heard of.
She's
and it
Mount
was great.
Rushmore for me.
Oh.
Winona Ryder.
Now, we just talked about, we want to go to Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Anyway, it's time to start our show today, shall we?
Oh, right. We have a show.
We have
a
show.
Yeah.
I'm just so caught up in like my nostalgia BFFs right
now. I know.
Now.
It's so, we're so fun.
Just for the
listeners,
if anyone is chiming in for the first time and don't know, we're all graduates of Tottenville High School in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep. And we went to band camp together and the whole thing.
All right. So what are we talking about today? Let's kick off the show.
Yes.
So
after like 20 minutes of banter.
So for our first segment, I would like to just bring in some potential fuckery, Texas style. Now, I'm gonna preface this. I'm not a big prefacer, but I'm prefacing this. I don't know if this is real fuckery or just falsely alleged fuckery.
Mm.
So because the facts are not all out
like
there yet.
Like shiny object fuckery.
Yes. So listen to this, because this is COVID measures gone wildly political.
Wait, before you start, I miss the days when all we talked about was Florida.
I know. It was so easy with Florida.
Yeah.
I don't have any Florida today, but I have Texas.
All right. Go
for it.
Okay. So here's what's good. So in Texas, we have this judge, and her name is Lita Hidalgo. And you may remember her name because she was elected in.
Was she on Bridgerton?
She was not on Bridgerton. She definitely is not.
She's in season 3.
Okay.
She probably will be because she may be out of a job. So she is a judge, but because it's Texas, I know you're thinking judge, black robe, courtroom, trials, right? That's not
white
her
wig.
That's completely not her job at all. Her job is not to be a judge. Her job is to be like the county executive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's sort of like the mayor of a county. And it's a big county. It's Harris County, which is where Houston is. It's actually the third most populated county in the whole country.
Oh, wow.
So this is like a big deal. And she was elected, I think, when she was 29. So which is
that's
a
impressive.
Huge deal. Yeah. She's a Democrat. Elected in Texas in this big, huge county.
Mm-hmm.
And she was immediately kind of like a rising star in the Democratic Party. She did a lot to rally voters, and she got the county budget increased by millions of dollars to help voter turnout efforts. And she generally is kind of like a darling of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, this sounds all good so far. Where's the fuckery?
It is. So here's what's going on.
Just you wait.
Just you wait.
Okay. Is that from Bridgerton too?
God, Matt.
Hamilton.
That's Hamilton. Okay.
I know. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
So anyway, so this judge got the county into an $11 million contract with this consulting company. And the company, their job was supposed to be to combat vaccine hesitancy.
Okay.
And it was, they weren't an injection company. They weren't doing the vaccines, but it was like, they were supposed
like
to do
a
public service campaign, that kind of stuff.
And $11 million to do that?
No, don't ask me exactly what they were supposed to do because I don't actually know. But here's what I do know. It was extremely
controversial.
They're
not going to get their shot. Bring it all together.
That's very good.
Yes.
I'll see myself out now.
They're young, scrappy.
Yeah. It was extremely controversial because the company that got this $11 million mm-hmm. contract, first of all, it was one lady. It was like
what? Was her name Karen?
No, but she was a Hillary Clinton staffer.
Okay.
For the 2016 election. So she was like a political operative and she had this little consulting company and she got this huge contract. And the rumor was that she got it before they actually put the request for proposals out to like other companies.
Oh.
So they didn't follow the rules. Now, I don't know that that's actually true. That's the allegation. That they didn't really go about it the
half-assed
right way.
Half-assed internet research.
Right. Exactly. Well, no, I don't know yet. It's not public yet.
No-assed internet research.
So Assless. Anyway, here's... and we're not even talking about chaps. So here's the bottom line. So this was controversial for a while. Judge Hidalgo said, no, we didn't do anything wrong. Her Republican opponents in that county said, oh, you did everything wrong.
They're leaping on this one, aren't they?
P.S. though... her top three staffers, chief of staff and two other people, got indicted yesterday.
Oh.
Right? Federally indicted, like for crimes, like could go to jail over giving this contract to the lady with the consulting company. Now, look.
What's it called when you're supposed to like vet three companies first? Is that what the procedure
was? Yeah, you're supposed to like send
out. Like bid out for it?
Yeah, you got to get bids and there's tons of rules. And especially for that level of money.
Yeah,
I mean,
that sounds like a
huge. You can't just like decide like, hey, why don't you do that? Now, I don't know if that's really what happened, but the allegation is that is exactly what happened. And that's what they're being charged with.
So was anyone made aware of COVID vaccines because of this or nothing ever happened with the campaign?
No, it actually never really happened because the company that had the contract only had it for a couple of months.
This woman?
And the judge.
Lady in the basement.
The judge canceled the contract because according to her, it became, quote, too political. So before anything happened, they just were like, never mind with that lady and the $11 million. So I'm picturing the lady being like, oh, shit. Like, I just got new computers and I got some new outfits and like one of those fancy credit cards.
And she's a Tesla Model Allura.
Yeah.
She's a printer.
Right. She definitely is a printer that works, not like me. And yeah, like, so that just, you know, took the wind out of her sails. But
all this to the detriment of the entire community who would have benefited from a public health campaign on vaccinations.
I mean, assuming that that's what would have actually happened from the health campaign. So it's just interesting. And the reason why I felt that this story was interesting, although I don't know if this really is an example of major government corruption or if this is more an example of government doing good things and then political rivals trying to make it sound like corruption. I don't know which is the answer at this mm-hmm. point. But what I will say is it didn't even occur to me that there are companies out there making $11 million for the goal of reducing vaccine hesitancy.
Right.
Like, we're doing that. Nobody's paying us $11 million.
We need to hire somebody. Yeah.
But I wonder...
We need a Hidalgo. We need a Judge Hidalgo.
I mean, maybe we do. I don't know. But the thing that I find interesting, though, is that COVID has created so much difficulty for so many people,
mm-hmm.
but it's also created major business opportunities
for
people that are sort of ready to deliver necessary services mm-hmm. in the face of some kind of, you know, major emergency.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's my capitalism lesson for today. You know, we've seen businesses change from making, you know, men's shirts to face masks, and we've seen kind of creative thinking from businesses. And I don't know. It's interesting to me how much money there is to be made, so much so that maybe there's even, you know, fraud going on, or who knows?
Sure.
But it's just, I don't know. I find all of these kind of stories very interesting about the business response to COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right. And speaking of masks, that's a great way to segue into our second segment.
I hate the second segment.
Masks are making a comeback.
Matt,
thank you,
it.
BB-8.
Don't call it a comeback.
Is it like the 69 comeback special?
Oh, God.
Or is that 68?
69. Philadelphia reinstates indoor mask mandate. Thank you. What's the name of the city? The city of brotherly love?
Brotherly love. Yes.
City of brotherly masks.
Oh, I was in Philly just yesterday, though. Not a single person was wearing a mask.
Well, fair enough.
But
you got to get Stallone back. He'll make everyone wear a mask.
Yes, they should put the mask on the Rocky statue.
That's a good idea.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, I have to say, as much as I'm somebody that I don't mind wearing a mask at all, I'm always happy to wear a mask and to be as safe as possible. But when I see the recommendations changing, it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, please,
we're just going backwards again.
I don't want to.
I know.
Also, I have to. So, you know, I played in orchestra and I have a special flute mask that we wear, and it is gigantic. It's like a giant duckbill and the flute sticks in the side.
That's hysterical.
No, it's ridiculous. But here's the thing, right? But because, as you know, I had elbow surgery, it's very difficult for me to pick my elbow up and shove the flute into the mask. So I'm like having all of these different issues all happen at the same time.
Oh.
And they're like, why? You can't wear the mask because what? You can't breathe? And I'm like, no, I totally can breathe. I can't stick the flute in it because of my bad elbow.
Aging is a privilege.
You need a flute sticker. You need an assistant to stick it.
I need an assistant.
Did you see that Ted Cruz ripped Mr. T a new one on Twitter? Going back to the mask conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mr. T got his revenge. It was great. Everything backfires on Ted Cruz.
Oh, God.
But
He honestly should stop trying.
But Mr. T, we love Mr. T. Come
of course.
On. He's the man.
I love Mr. T.
You know, Rocky III for the win.
I pity the fool.
Clubber Lang. Let's do it.
I love Clubber Lang.
But
so I love him. But
I hated him. I mean, like,
he's so evil.
With if he's not in it, Mickey lives forever.
Yeah.
The end.
That's true. That's true. But he did a great tweet. Like, you know, we're really excited that we're at a great place. Thanks for getting vaccinated. I'm still going to wear my mask because I want to help protect people. And Ted Cruz does his stupid Ted Cruz bullshit. And then, of course, the whole internet piles on Ted Cruz for this stuff.
Oh, my God.
No one fucks with Mr. T.
No. I don't follow Mr. T on Twitter.
Oh,
I know.
He's awesome. I'm very selective in who I follow in the celebrity world, but he is fantastic.
He wouldn't have been on my pick for good
Mark
tweeter.
Hamill. Mark Hamill.
Yes, I follow him, yeah.
But Mr. T, huh?
It's fantastic.
I know, I didn't know. Who knew?
I don't even think I know what his actual name is.
And not Scott Baio.
Mister.
No, not definitely not Scott Baio.
or Ted Nugent.
No. Poor Chachi.
Oh, my God. Did I love
Joni
him?
No longer loves Chachi.
No, I loved him so much.
Me too. Oh, my God. Was he dreamy?
My two childhood crushes were Chachi and friggin' John Travolta. And I'm just SOL on both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, which is why I need fucking Bridgerton, is what I'm saying.
Recompense.
Yes. I mean, God, they took Tom Cruise from us.
Like,
right?
So do we have any sense of that this is the start of a new domino effect with Philly reinstating indoor mask mandates?
I mean, we've been at this for over 2 years now, right? And I really wish that the municipalities would say ahead of time, we're making our recommendations based on the following numbers and levels and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they said, listen, we think it's dangerous enough to need to wear masks when the the infection rate is X percent per 100,000 people, or whatever metric they want to use. If they just said it, and then you could like sort of check it every day.
Right.
Just sort of like, if it goes below 70 degrees, you need a jacket.
Right.
If they're like, if the numbers goes to this level, you need a mask. Then it wouldn't feel so arbitrary.
Right.
You know, because I'm sure someone is using data to make
these recommendations. Air index, right? The heat index, like, sunscreen.
Yes. Yeah. Like when it gets to a certain level, this is what you need to do. I wish they would do that. Because then it wouldn't feel like it's political or...
Right, there'd be science behind it.
It would be predictable.
What was that word?
Science?
Science.
It would also be like, but I like that, you know, this is my own neuroses, mm-hmm. but like, I would like to see it's coming. So like, just like with the weather, it's not like it's June and then all of a sudden it's 20 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes gradually to when you need a coat, right? So if I could follow like, okay, the numbers, they seem to be getting bad, but not bad enough for masks. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, now it's bad enough to need masks. It would seem, I don't know, more palatable to me And I think people would complain less if it just became something that we know is around and we're watching it. But when they do this and they're just like, okay, today we think you should wear a mask again. Mm-hmm. But there's like no reasoning. I mean, there is reasoning, but they don't share it.
Right.
You know?
Does the day of the week end in Y?
Mm-hmm. Right. But right. It's like that. It's like, don't eat oysters in months that have R's, but we're not going to tell you why. Right. No.
We have to take a quick break.
Do we have to?
It's been 23 minutes of chatting without an interruption.
Is it brought to us by Dexalent?
It has been a Dexalent first half of the show.
Dexalent, yeah.
All right, we will be right back. Dexalent, not a sponsor.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back, and I want to ask you, Stephanie Ilora, do you know what my favorite five syllables are?
I'm afraid.
Respiratory backwash, which is our third segment.
What a segue.
What the hell is this about? Someone tell me.
Sounds like phlegmy.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I saw this article talking about sort of, they're calling it the invisible COVID mitigation measure. That was the title of the article. And it was like,
was it $11 million lady in the basement to come up with that?
They had been, and it was basically like, hey guys, wouldn't it be great if rooms we were in were ventilated? Like everybody all of a sudden was like, you know what? We should check to see if things like office buildings and schoolhouses actually have some air circulation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you think?
Right.
Or we're just going to keep on living with, like, you know, little Billy gets a stomach virus and the whole fucking class gets it every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, that is definitely why, because there's no ventilation in schools. And somebody coined this term respiratory backwash, which is the idea that you're, when you're in an enclosed space with bad ventilation, you're inhaling whatever someone else has just exhaled, which, by the way, is not what backwash means. But
no, right.
But, backwash is its own disgusting definition.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess you could be breathing in your own exhaled air and that would sort of be respiratory.
Well, that's like the whole secondhand smoke metaphor, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. And they're saying,
so this is secondhand COVID?
Gross. Just gross.
It's, yeah.
The answer
you're welcome,
is,
listeners.
The answer is just stay outside. Right. Just stay outside because it seems to not be transmitted outside. Although I just walked here to the studio on the streets of Lower Manhattan, and I still cannot believe how many people are wearing masks outdoors in Manhattan. That is so interesting to me.
Well, I think it speaks to the culture of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see that anywhere else. I haven't seen people wearing masks outdoors anywhere except Manhattan.
But I just walked with you. And I don't recall seeing anybody with a mask. Next time I walk,
did you
with
just
you,
not notice?
I guess not.
A lot of
give
people
me,
had
give
masks
me
on.
Like a little nudgy so I could see.
Be like that one.
Unless it's like the people who are wearing it in the car and they forget that they're wearing it, or they're wearing it because they're.
I wonder. I mean, sometimes I think it's just like easier to just not keep taking it off and on, you know. And I'm not being critical of it. It just is interesting. I always notice it when I come here that I see a lot of people outdoors
now
wearing masks.
pay more attention.
Stephanie, why don't you pay some attention, all right?
Come on.
God.
Daughter pays attention.
Your daughter pays attention. So, but what's happening, and I think that this is actually really great, is that schools in particular are putting money into air filtration systems. They're really paying attention to what is the ventilation in the schools. This should have been done forever ago.
Right.
Like, I don't want my kids going to school in a public school building where the building has like terrible ventilation.
Right.
And I feel like I'm a little bothered that we've never really paid attention to this before. It required a pandemic.
I think to their credit, the New York City school system did a comprehensive audit when schools were fully closed and there was full remote on what we do with 150-year-old schools mm-hmm. that were not even built with air conditioning involved.
Right.
How does air circulate and flow? And I'm making this up in my head because I think it's truth. Or truthiness, is they learned a lot from the airlines who completely perfected circulation with minimal backwash of COVID-ness in the cabin.
Can I just bring you guys back to the like early and mid 80s when we were in elementary schools and tell me if this triggers anything for you? Do you remember sitting in a classroom mm-hmm. when it was in June, it was 90 degrees outside. It was probably 700 degrees in the classroom. There's no fans. There's no air conditioning. There's mm-hmm.
There's no mercy.
And it was like the teacher would go with that giant
rod with the hook.
Open the windows. Like
the 9-foot wood stick.
Yes,
that opened
but they
the
would
windows.
Open it only from the top.
Yes.
Why did they do that?
Well, and it had grates on it anyway, so no one's climbing out. But I think
I know why,
because if it's 9 feet long, right, you can't exactly open it from the bottom. Oh, no. Why would you need the hook?
No, it's because heat rises.
Yes, that's what the teacher said. But here's the thing, right? I mean, first of all, there's no way that
thermodynamics, something right. like thermo something.
I remember it being that it was like only at the moments that it was so hot that everyone was ready to pass out, that the teacher finally got that pole and stuck it in the little thing all the way at the top and like inched down that ridiculous window,
yeah.
like 2 inches, right? And somehow we were supposed to feel cool by this.
Right.
Also, and I understand like it's a safety thing, but also if you are a teacher in an elementary school classroom, I would like to think that you're at least paying attention that none of the kids jump out the window.
Right.
Like, I would like to know that you have that kind of head on.
Because those windows are like 20 feet tall, too.
The windows were like 20 feet tall and like required probably superhuman strength. Because I remember always like the teacher couldn't open it.
Yeah.
And there would be like 4 windows in the classroom, but only one of them even was openable.
School ventilation in the 80s in New York City.
Remember that thing in the middle?
That would like, that was attached to the wall where the...
Where the pole lived. Right? And here's my question, right?
The pole hook.
This is a very specific, like, New York City public school memory. Is it universal in all public schools, or was that, like, purely a New York City contract thing? Like, they got the puke green color for the walls. They got the pole hook mm-hmm. that was made for someone 12 feet tall. Like
the wood doors with the years and years of... like laminate was running off it. Like,
totally.
Oh my gosh. Like who even made that? I've never seen that anywhere again. But if you think about the level of air circulation, like it's nothing. None.
And yet mm-hmm. we survived.
We did.
We sure did.
To be fair, there was no global pandemic going on.
That is true.
Yeah.
No, there was only global thermonuclear war going on.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and listen.
War games was history and truth.
I learned how to code in BASIC like a beast. Because they told us the Russians were going to get
us. Did you just pull a Commodore 64 Radio Shack Tandy on me?
Yeah, let me tell you. They told us full on. We had to learn computer programming because otherwise the Russians were going to beat us.
Mm.
I hated it, but I had to do it. And to this day, line 10, input a dollar sign.
Wow. No,
it's REM 10, go to 20, 20, end.
Run.
All right, I want to close out with a special shout out to a group called Academy Health. They are a...
Sprang that on me.
No. Okay. I went to this event.
This is my long COVID story. Oh, long
Not
COVID.
My long COVID. Like a long COVID story.
Oh, okay.
Academy Health mm-hmm. is a membership-based think tank of researchers and policymakers from the Beltway and all around the country. Just Google Academy Health. Not a sponsor, but like they invited me to speak at their annual meeting. Called Datapalooza.
Mm.
And it's a wonky inside baseball kind of thing where, like, not really for like consumers or people, but I moderated a panel. Not really for people. For weirdos like me and my ilk.
Keynote speaker. It's not for people.
You know, it's for like weirdo nerds like me in this policy wonk space. But we did a wonderful panel session on where is the data around long COVID, which is real. It's a moving target. You never know when it's going to show up. Where are the cohort groups? What communities are forming around this? And how can we use science and computers and big data to build models on these late effects? How do we sustain late effects? How do we create what they call corollaries, which are like, you know, permutations and comparative words with syllables on them to help people get care? But the most important part, and we can bring this up at any other show, the largest burden of care to people with long COVID is literacy in primary care. How do you get regular GPs to identify your symptom as a potential long COVID symptom,
sure,
and not just like a fever or an eyesore or a stomach issue? Fascinating to be there to hear this, but just for the listeners and for you guys to know, they're working on this. This is really actively happening in data science, in policy, in DC, and at big groups like Microsoft and 3M, the tape company.
Wow.
They have data in this space.
Well, and that, you know, I feel like that's a really important point, because when you think about medicine and pharmaceuticals and medical research and doctors, sometimes it can be really like overwhelming and confusing how all the pieces fit together. But to think like, okay, so there's this company and they, you know, they're in the data business, and what it's going to mean for you as a consumer is that it, you know, you'll go to your primary care doctor for something, and when the right measures are in place, your primary care doctor will notice that your headache and your sore throat or whatever it is you have may be long COVID instead of something else. Then you'll see the effects of those kind of things in action, and it'll have really meaningful results for individuals.
Right, because this changes what health history is. You may not even know that this is long COVID, but the doctor would need to basically, in triage and screening, ask, when did you have COVID, if you did.
Right.
So this has to be put into active practice in every primary care.
Yeah, sure.
As an intake question.
And I think as a patient, making sure that your medical providers have the right information to be able to recognize symptoms is probably the most important thing in the world, right?
Right.
The fact that my child's doctors didn't notice his symptoms as being indicative of a larger pervasive disease until years after he had it was a big deal for our family. Had they just known, we would have been on the right medication, on the right path years earlier than we were. But it was an unusual illness, so they just weren't registering the symptoms. And I think, I'm sure the same thing is happening with COVID and with other things as well. So kudos to Academy Healthcare.
The burden of literacy in primary care is something that's brought up on nearly every show of our other series, which listeners can subscribe to, called Is It Serious? The latest new show on the Off-Script Health Podcast Network featuring Jean-Luc Neptune, Dr. Jean-Luc Neptune, Dr. Mark Lewis, two MD, PhD, MBAs, each with their own frickin' frack stories, dissecting and pulling back the curtain on basically doctor fuckery in healthcare.
And it's such a fun show. I just listened to a great episode the other day about whether it's possible to be fat and healthy. And
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Well, they said yes as well.
From existence.
They said yes also. But yeah, great show. Everyone should listen to that as well.
Yeah. So with that,
I'm going to listen on my ride home.
The one show we do recommend everyone listen to, and it's not a show for doctors, it's a really fun show. So here's two doctors, two practicing doctors, that are making fun of pharma ads on TV. But we can make fun of pharma ads like with the wheat fields and the old people and the porch and all these things like that. But to hear doctors rip them apart, there's nothing quite like hearing that. Like they made fun of one particular ad, which is like there's two bathtubs up on a hill and people are bathing in the bathtubs up on a hill. And it's for like eyelash medication. Like, what the hell is wrong with you, Madison Avenue? Anyway,
it's
serious?
Double bath.
Is it serious? It's a great show. And Vax On, Out of Patience, the entire litany of catalog of awesome shows right here on Off-Script Health. Any final thoughts?
I need to go get a new show to binge.
Bridgerton, County?
It's more satisfying for Allura.
I need something that's more satisfying than Bridgerton. So.
Okay. Okay. Right, we will. The search for Beyond Bridgerton.
Beyond. I will not be here next week because I will be exploring our nature's majestic beauty in, what I say, our nature, our nation's majestic beauty at the Grand Canyon. I will report in 2 weeks, having shared my Red Rock stories and Jeep tours.
Fantastic. Godspeed. All right, Stephanie, I guess I'm seeing you next week.
Oh, I don't know, but I would love to be here.
We'll figure it out.
Let me know.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning into another fun and exciting episode of Vax On.
Vax On, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all for now. If you like Vax On, be sure to subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, follow us on social, and tell all your friends to listen. Tell us your shit show of a healthcare story by leaving a message for us at 855-AUDIO-66, and we might just use it in a future show. Vax On is a product of Offscript Health. We are a healthcare engagement company built for patients and caregivers by patients and caregivers. Our executive producers are Matthew Zachary and Andrew McDowell. Our senior producer is Brianna Seely. Our hosts are Matthew Zachary and Allura Nanos. It is recorded, mixed, and edited by Brianna Seely. For advertising and media inquiries, email media@offscript.com. That's media@offscript.com. For more information, visit offscript.com.